Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. There has been a phrase that has made it into our vocabulary in recent. You're familiar with this, and I know if I say it, fake news. Everybody nods their head. And oddly enough, that's two words you never want to have put together, because if it's news, you don't want it to be fake. And if it's fake, it shouldn't be news, right? And yet, it has come into our vocabulary with politicians and political parties and newsrooms all being accused of applying their own spin to everything and destroying the reputation and credibility of individuals all over the place. Well, in today's gospel, the Pharisees, a rather powerful and influential religious party, if you will, they are the largest of the religious groups at the time of Jesus. They are the middle class group, if you will, and they are trying to put a spin on Jesus. You see, they're wanting to undermine his authority. They want to attack him, and so to do so, to try to destroy his reputation, they take issue on the Sabbath. The offense that the disciples are doing is as they're walking, they pick grain off the heads of the crop in the field and they are eating it on the Sabbath. The Pharisees, quick to put their spin on it, want to interpret this act as if they are reaping. Now, if you've done any farming or even gardening, you know the difference between picking a few and reaping. But our Pharisee friends were not going to allow that to pass, for reaping was prohibited on the Sabbath. Exodus 34, 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. And while Scripture did not explicitly prohibit plucking by hand on the Sabbath, nor define it as reaping, the Jewish law did. The Talmud. And a third of the 39 categories. I hope you heard that. The third of the 39 categories of laws added to explain the Ten Commandments prohibited on the Sabbath day any reaping. Jewish law typically extended and added to the biblical commandments for the purpose of preventing people from doing anything that might in some way violate the commandment. And well-intentioned as it may be, they were the ones sinning against God's word. As Deuteronomy clearly states, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandment of the Lord your God which I command you. What the Pharisees were trying to do was to take something that was gospel, that is the Sabbath day, and make it law. They wanted to turn it into rules and rituals. Now, I'm sure it didn't feel like gospel this morning when your mother woke you from the bed, right? Right, Tim? He's all awake. When your mother or father forced you out of bed as a child, or your spouse forced you out of bed as an adult, it didn't seem very gospel-oriented, this rest we are to receive. To be roused out of our nice comfy bed, to get cleaned up and ready to go to church. But the Sabbath is all gospel. Jesus sets the record straight. Man is not made for the Sabbath. The Pharisees, you see, they thought that they were made for the Sabbath, and so to make sure nothing was done wrong on the Sabbath, and to ensure that the law of God was kept, they added more laws to God's law. Did you hear what I read from Deuteronomy? Let me reread that. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandment of the Lord your God which I command you. Not only did they add to the word of God, The Pharisees had established 39 categories of actions forbidden on the Sabbath based on interpretations of God's law and on Jewish customs. In fact, the Pharisees had a total of 365 laws, to be exact, one a day. Maybe you could have one of those calendars and just rip it off each day and go, oh, I did that one. Right? Here, let me give you an example. This is a short list. I know I did this a number of years ago, but sometimes we forget. Of the 39 categories of forbidden work, sowing, plowing, reaping, binding, sheaves, threshing, winnowing, kneading, baking, shearing wool, washing wool, weaving, making two loops. One loop's fine, unless it's a fruit loop, then you might have more than one, right? Weaving two threads, separating two threads, tying, untying, sewing stitches, tearing, trapping, slaughtering, filleting, tanning, scraping hides, making hides, writing two or more letters, erasing two or more letters, building, demolishing, extinguishing a fire, kindling a fire, putting the finishing touch on an object, transporting an object between a private domain and a public domain, or for a distance of 4 cubits. For those of you who don't know, a cubit is from your nose to your thumb based on the ruler's length of his arm, which would be 6 feet, give or take 6 inches or so, depending on the length of the arm. I mean, if it's Manute Bol's arm, it's probably another foot longer than mine, but he's not ruler either. And so Jesus says to the Pharisees, he says of them, but all their works they do to be seen by men. You see, Jesus can do something we can't. He judges their heart, not just their actions. We can't do that. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. Now, phylactery consisted of strips of parchment in which were inscribed four texts. Exodus 13, 1 through 10. Exodus 13, 11 through 16, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, and Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21, and then placed into a leather box and worn on the head with the box between the eyes. See, I'm covered in God's word. See? That's what they would do. And our sinful nature, sad to say, our sinful nature has a very pharisaical side, one that loves to do the same thing to God's word. We add laws based on our personal preferences, and we ignore laws based on our sinful wants. We look for our rest in all the wrong places. We look for it in treasures and toys and travel instead of in the grace of God. Listen to Eusebius of Alexandria, a 4th century bishop. He speaks on the Sabbath here. He says, now every week has 7 days. 6 of these God has given for us to work, for work, and 1 for prayer, rest, and making reparation for our sins, so that on the Lord's day we may atone to God for any sins we have committed on the other 6 days. Therefore, arrive early at church, at the church of God. Draw near to the Lord and confess your sins to Him, repenting in prayer and with a contrite heart. Attend the holy and divine liturgy, finish your prayer, and do not leave before the dismissal. Contemplate your Master as he is broken and distributed and yet not consumed. If you have a clear conscience, go forward and partake of the body and blood of the Lord. This is a sermon by Eusebius. Or we could simply just look at what Jesus says as he speaks in Matthew 6 in his Sermon on the Mount. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, today in our culture, because of our pharisaical nature, we have turned worship completely upside down. We have turned worship into something I do for God or something I do for myself, which is even worse. Let me put an end to all this silliness. We come to worship to be served by God. It is here where God serves us, not the other way around. We respond to God's service to us. well, with hymns and spiritual songs, with thanks and praise, but it is He who does the serving. It is your called workers who are here to declare that word for you and for ourselves. We return thanks for the forgiveness of our sins. He is giving us everything. This is why we dare not turn worship into an experience that fulfills our fickle feelings. And this is why we can't turn prayer into a means of grace. Prayer, you see, is an act of worship in which we confess our faith in God by thanking and acknowledging Him as the giver of all that we need to support body and soul. We can ask with all confidence because God has spared nothing from us, not even His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why the writer to the letter to the Hebrews can put it this way: let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you pray, you can pray in all confidence, knowing that God will not withhold anything that is necessary. But please don't become a charismatic or a theologian of glory in thinking that you can tell God what you need and He has to give it to you. He is not a dispensary, and you are not filling out your forms in triplicate. You are simply coming to Almighty God and acknowledging that He is the one who gives you everything, knowing that He will give according to his will and according to His time. We must not forget the Sabbath is made for us. It's made for man. Even before the fall, God gave man the Sabbath. After 6 days of creating the heavens and the earth, God rested on the seventh. Why? Do you think God needed a break? That He was a little tired? Maybe a nap? I know that's a great Sunday afternoon activity. Granted, if we were Old Testament, we would have to do the Sabbath on Saturday. So it's a great Saturday activity too, right? The nap. You don't want to work too much, right? But you see, He has given us the Sabbath for our good. Almighty God rested for us to give us order and a time to refresh. Genesis 2, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His works which God had created and made. And I know we have some Christian relatives, some Christian friends. I consider them, I don't know, you ever been to a family reunion and there's always those cousins that you're like, well, they sit over there. Right? Normally that's me, but at our family reunions. But we have some Christian relatives who want to look at the Sabbath day and say we're worshiping on the wrong day, because the Sabbath day is Saturday. But you see, they have ignored all of the New Testament to do that. After the resurrection, the Christians not only worship on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, which we do, which is the day that God created everything, which, well, Luke uses language of the eighth day, but they also worshiped every other day of the week. So any day can be your Sabbath rest day, not just on Sunday. For us, we offer opportunity here on Thursday night and Sunday mornings, but that, you know, in a perfect world, we'd be able to have church services here every single day so that no one would have an excuse for not being served by God, for not receiving His peace, for not being comforted with the forgiveness of their sins. You see how the day, the Sabbath day, is all gospel? Sure, the law has to be proclaimed, and it never makes us comfortable, and it irritates us from time to time. I love that in the hymn that we sang, the opening hymn, "Preach ye the word," and it, whether they like it or not. Right? It's not about Pastor Rafa or I being liked. It's about the word being proclaimed in truth. And so, through the Sabbath, God restores us through the gift of Jesus, who comes to us through the means of grace, which alone join us to Jesus and gives us our rest. St. Paul writes about this in Colossians when he writes, "In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sin, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Jesus is the Lord of our Sabbath rest. Therefore, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus alone did all the work that the law requires, thus doing our work. Remember, he had said, "Do not think that I came to abolish or destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy them, but to fulfill them." Jesus alone dies on the Roman cross for our sins and dies our death there. Jesus alone rose on the third day, conquering sin, death, and the devil, turning the tree of death into a tree of eternal life for us. And Jesus alone is our rest even now. Our Sabbath rest. As he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So I don't care how you try to spin it. The Sabbath is all about the gospel. It's all about Jesus for you. So dear friends in Christ, be of good cheer. Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, and he is with us always to the very end of the age, giving us his gifts, the forgiveness of our sins, life, and salvation, which is our rest both now, distributed here by the bride, his church, in with and through the means of grace, and also in the full presence in heaven, will be our glory forever. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.